You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
All right, let's do it live on a Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily on a sun-kissed spring. The flowers are blooming. Going to get out, play 18 today. You're on. You're fine. Get out there, play 18. Maybe have a little bonfire at the house, a barbecue. Maybe have an outdoor beverage. Who knows? Who gets hurt? What a gorgeous day. Gorgeous.
Yeah, I've had it. I'm done.
you got a fresh
you got
dome?
A fresh dome, yeah. I don't like this new lighting, though. This new lighting makes
it's fine. No one's
bald.
Watching.
It's completely bald. What is this? What's going on in here? What's going on with these cameras? What's going on, Griff?
It does.
It looks like I have no hair. You're sitting right here. I have hair. Turn this thing off. What is this?
It does.
Why am I red?
Where's the monitor?
Look how red I am. Look.
Give it. Look at the monitor.
Look on the TV.
Look at the monitor.
I have hair here. I can feel
you
it.
You do that. It looks great. That's great. Fresh stove. I didn't even.
Go back to why it's still green.
I've never looked at the. I don't ever pay attention to this thing, but just when you said that, when you looked at it,
I was like, what the hell's going on?
I look over there and it is. That's what that was the appearance. Oh, gosh.
I love how insecure you are currently.
Well, like, that was jarring.
I don't know why you're fighting it.
It was jarring. He looked like Telly Savalas.
It's absurd.
I don't know why you're fighting it.
You look great.
There you go. You're wearing Cole's hat. Hooligans. You're wearing my golf league's hat.
That's a gorgeous lid. You did a good job with that. You know the other thing that's cool about that design? There's a subtlety to that design. So that, it's obviously kind of like a Masters-y. Yeah.
Apropos.
It's got a Masters feel to it. Are you aware that I know you are, but our audience might not be, that the Masters flag for the members is green?
Yeah, there are two logos. Right?
Two logos. So they have the yellow one that is the tournament, and then Augusta Nationals logo is green. The flag's green.
Well, there you go.
So they even had the thoughts to get that sorted out. So this is it. You've had it. This did it to you.
It's outrageous.
Well, that or the weather. Which one are you more is more outrageous?
This is nothing.
He's safe.
I'm fine.
That's a problem out there. Yeah, you're fine.
Well, I mean, and it makes my hair look like it's the color of my skin.
It does.
I do have some gray hair, white hair, but skin color. Look on this side.
It's just temporary, from what I understand. Connor with the K was in here yesterday.
I don't know if it is temporary.
Connor with the K was
going on 2 days.
Well, I think it's till next week. I think it's till the end of next week.
But why can't this camera, I imagine it costs a decent amount of money. You're saying this camera is not capable of recreating the real world?
Connor would argue. Now, I would argue that I don't know if it's been properly white balanced. But then
he said it had nothing to do with white balance. I heard that yesterday.
Okay, so that's what he said. It had nothing to do with it. He would know. I don't. I mean, it's been a long time since I've shot a camera in my high school football shooting days, you know, almost 20 years ago. But that was always the key, is you got to get a proper white balance. Are you texting him?
No, I'm just furious right now. I'm not happy.
Still have 2 hours to go.
Well,
I love how insecure he is.
It's a misrepresentation.
It's
a misrepresentation of spring.
This is not spring. There's nothing.
Just hold on to that. Just wear the hat today. Wear my golf league hat.
The hat looks great on you. Let's just say that right now.
I am wearing it.
It looks great. Let me ask you this. True or false, this is the worst of our weather. What's happening today?
I'm not sure it's not going to get worse.
We're not even going to be able to golf.
Than this.
We're not going to be able to golf until May.
Oh, no, 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 no. Yeah. You're going to be Carpath only until June.
It stinks.
Let me just see where we're at here. I'm pulling up the AccuWeather. Let's get it. Yeah.
Wind advisory. Lovely. While I'm fired up, let me try something.
All right. So we've got, we have some low 70s next week. You got a mid 70s in the middle of next week. So that'll help. Yeah. This is it. This is the worst, Gibbe. It's 42 and raining sideways. I mean, that's the worst. I will take December cold snowstorm over this all day. Want to know the biggest reason why? In December, when it's cold and it's frozen, Buddy Garrity can go outside and not come in a mess.
That's right.
This
is untenable.
I don't even know what to do. What do you do?
My dogs were sopping wet yesterday, covered in mud, and I'm hosing them down outside.
They had Buddy outside, and when I got home, and he was sort of a mess, and then he was like, you know, Dad, I've been inside all day. Like, let's do a little fetch. What do you think about a little fetch? And he like ran right to where we keep the fetch ball and everything. And I'm like, I can see how excited he is. I'm a pleaser, people pleaser, dog pleaser in this case. So I get the lacrosse stick out and we have a fetch.
Have a nice little fetch.
He comes back in. He's a blonde golden. He is brown. It's just muck.
It's a whole different color.
Muck. So I get the hose and I'm hosing him off outside. You got to do it. Then you got to dry him a little bit because you can't have him sopping going into the house.
Can't recommend it to people enough. Like, install a little hot water spigot on the outside of your house.
Yeah, we do have that. It is warm. And that's helpful. But you still have to dry him because you can't have him walking in wet.
Correct.
So then he wants to eat the towel that you're drying him with because he thinks it's a toy. So,
well, then he's shivering and they're looking at you like, what did I do wrong here that you're
– Yeah.
I'm like, well – there's you a live price in Ohio. To pay for going outside and playing in this today.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's sheets. It's just windy sheets of rain. Brutal.
You know what else is brutal? This guy, Cloche, yesterday said, I'm a fan of all the men on this show, but Z's takes are getting worse as the offseason continues. His movies aren't for anyone under 40s, and this rom-com talk is outlandish. Number one, it's not outlandish. Number two,
you're going
I have
back
movies.
In on that.
Yeah, I got movies that are fantastic. Recent, Top Gun Maverick, recent film. What do you have now, Shay?
Segura literally walked in here 25 minutes ago. And
not even. I walked in with him.
Not even. Not even, and today. I'm ready to walk right on out.
We walked this in together
camera,
today.
This is a disgrace.
Don't worry. No one's watching it.
Let me tell you something. In the Yellowstone era, never looked bald on the screen.
Well, that's true. In the Stones era, that's very true. All right. Maverick.
I think you're wearing a nice hat, so I'm fine with it.
I don't like Uno's enjoyment of this.
I've got
all three of us are currently enjoying it. I believe
I can't
the
believe Griff
is
enjoying
it.
Griff, are you enjoying this?
Griff's not enjoying it.
Griff is desperately trying to fix the problem.
Griff, keep your arrows up. Add another down to Gibbe and Uno.
I've got three movies in the last 10 years.
That doesn't seem fair at all.
Two arrows down. No lip today. I'm not to be trifled with. This is like growing up with my father. That's who I am right now. I'm playing the role of
I got to do this for an hour
Two
and 53.
Arrows down.
53? You're going to be an hour 53?
Maybe I'll
you're
come out of it. Maybe you'll pull me out of it with
Well, I'll try. And I've got I have a report on the letter that you wrote, Bootsy.
Oh, that's thank
and how that
that's gonna
was
help.
Received.
That's going to help.
So he opens it. He's really excited. Like, and I said, well, just wait a second. Like, you know, I want your mom to, you know, be here and we'll do it that. But he really couldn't contain himself. He was so excited to get it and to tear into it. And then he wanted to tear it open. I'm like, I think you need to save the envelope
bring
it to school so that the envelope's there and the letter's there and all of those things. So we go into my office. I'm set up to record. And he's really excited. He's thrilled when he sees how much he wrote. Very excited about that. There's one hitch in the giddy up. And I've noticed this with my kids. They are not used to reading anything that's handwritten.
Yeah. That was one of my concerns. Can you read my penmanship?
Yep. And the answer is no.
Sad.
Sucked. So I read it to him, and he was beaming the whole way, just thrilled. If you had to guess the one takeaway, the biggest takeaway from the entire letter, the lovely letter you wrote, young Bootsy, what do you think his biggest takeaway would be? What do you think the first thing out of his mouth when I was done reading it to him?
So I have three directions I could go. One would be he honed in on the Fortnite Vicks. Mm-hmm. He was very excited about that. The second would be the mention of going to a WWE show together.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third would be, I would imagine he would somebody that would take great pride in me saying that he's a great son and brother.
I think all of those things are true.
Snacks?
One of those is the correct
answer. Oh, one of them is the correct.
You okay. did get right. one so of them is the correct
son
answer.
And brother is out. That's not the correct answer. No. But I wanted to give him.
He better. Does. He would take a he great deal of yes. pride of that, yes. that he would be.
So I'm going to say the WWE show.
That would be correct. You know him very well. As soon as I'm done reading it, he goes, when am I going to go with Mr. Z to WWE? So as we pick his brother up from lacrosse last night, that's one of the first things he said. Oh, yeah, and I'm going to a WWE event with Mr. Z. So you're on the hook now.
Good.
Yeah.
I didn't put it. I didn't. Did he enjoy the word correspondence?
He did. Well, my wife enjoyed the word correspondence. She was very, very excited about using the word correspondence.
So
yeah.
When I got home yesterday, I played the opening of our show because I told my kids and Nana what had happened and Miss K. And so then I played my letter for them, my reading of the letter, and they loved it.
It was great.
Everybody loved
great.
It.
It's great.
That's great.
He's a big fan. So he took it to school today.
Yeah.
He took it to school today. He's very excited about it. And so there you go. So that
all right.
That certainly
look.
So now you're
a
better place. You're better place.
Nope. Now I'm back to mad.
Back to mad. I've got three rewatchable movies of the last decade because I think sometimes we are probably prisoners of the
of our classics.
Of our classics.
Shay, what he said. I said, Shay, come and give me something. Give me something modern. That
did
you're
he have
excited
any?
About. I don't know. We'll see if he comes back. Oh my God, Tommy Clayco. This is. I should walk off the show.
What do you got?
You saw that. The Costanza, the hair treatment from China.
George, didn't it stink? Wasn't that the deal with him? He loves it. He loves it. Kimmy loves it.
What are you looking at?
Wasn't that the problem with Costanza? Like he got that stuff from China, but then it stunk the whole operation.
It was a horrible smell.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I almost, when I licked the envelope, I had a flashback to... Wasn't that George's wife or fiance?
Fiance.
Oh, yeah,
she was
yeah.
mailing out the invites.
Mailing out the invites. Poor Susan.
He ends up somehow he ends up on the board of
he
her foundation.
Yeah. All he wanted to be an architect would be a city planner. Architect. Wasn't that the Van Buren boys?
The Van Buren boys.
Mine, they had a lot. Those episodes had a lot going on.
Yes.
I watched Funkhauser's Crazy Sister last night.
Bam, bam.
I'm going through all the ones that are like the pinnacle.
Well, did you see the
So I did I did Palestinian Chicken. I did probably about a month ago before this season started. And then I did the affirmative action one 2 days ago. And then I did Funkhauser's Crazy Sister last night. Oh, and I did Crazy Eyes Killa.
Crazy Eyes. Yeah.
I've done all four of those in the last 2 days. Simmons put something up like a pyramid.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about.
I was looking at those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy Eyes Killa is pretty unbelievable. That's when he's in the Scorsese movie at the end and there's something in his throat. Good Lord. That is one fastball.
The barbecue?
It's one fastball after
another. Baskin Robbins? 31 flavors?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable how that all shook out. So that's
the idea that Wanda and he would have formed a relationship is also very, very funny to me.
Yes, in retrospect, quite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Simmons had the pyramid. And this pyramid had basically everything that we said was great on it. So
yeah.
Simmons, good taste.
Good taste out of that.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to talk to you guys about something else. One other thing before we get into the Masters leader. We have Brugler at 1:30, right? All right.
We do.
All right. Do you guys how early were you guys up and on a social apparatus?
How what?
7:45.
How early were you up this morning and how quickly did you check Twitter? What time this morning did you check?
I was up at 7:06.
Okay.
And I probably peered at my phone by 7:15.
Vicinity?
I was alarm went off around 6:30. By 6:50, I was
okay.
Up.
Okay. And I don't know if it was just because it's not as foolproof as it used to be, but the number one trending thing on my Twitter this morning was Jason Day's pants. Now, did you guys see this?
I saw his.
Outfit. Oh, I watched
yesterday or today.
I
have
saw
seen
one,
both.
I think today's outfit. Where he had like that sweater.
Okay, that's today's.
Yeah.
Did you see yesterday's?
Yeah, but I didn't think anything of it. Maybe I was too far away from the screen and not dialed in. I wasn't like fully locked.
Okay.
His sweater today was crazy, which is what the Malbon.
Yeah.
But do they have a collab with Larry? You see the Curve
they do.
Collection?
Yeah, that's where I'm headed, brother.
Okay.
So
I want the hoodie, the pretty, pretty good hoodie.
All right, so here's how this all shook out. Here's the pants he was wearing yesterday. And that doesn't do it justice, like how baggy they are.
So
what they are is they are what every suit pant looked like in 2002
yeah.
or 1998. It is a wide.
And you know what he would have worn under that double-breasted suit? He would have worn a silk T-shirt.
Yes, he would have. You're right. It is a wide pant leg that goes all the way down wide, no taper,
no, any
straight
pleats?
To a
he
footwear.
Does he have any
pleats? He does have pleats.
Yeah, God,
pleats
it's a throwback.
So people thought it was rain gear. And when I first looked at it, I thought it was too, and it turns out
that
not.
That makes sense.
It's not. You hit it. It's this company called Malbon, who I went to their site. I saw the LD stuff, which I loved.
They have the guy from the club.
Takashi, right?
Takashi is
yeah,
the,
is
model.
The model, right.
Looking.
Yeah. And the golf pro, by the way, is a model too. The guy that Larry, he was teaching, doing the teaching foursome, and Larry hit into him. That guy's one of their models too. So obviously they get the joke and all of it. As soon as I left the site, I was on the site for probably 5 minutes. As soon as I left the site, I was hit with an email from them with a percentage off. Now, I'm well familiar with sign up for an email, get a percentage off first time you purchase. That happens everywhere you go.
Did, what you're saying
but
is
I never put the email in.
Yeah.
That's pretty comprehensive. It's a baggy look.
So they got it off of your IP address.
They did. Yeah. So they're very, they're quite aggressive.
Like that shouldn't be.
Yeah. Pretty aggressive out of them. What do you think of the pant?
Not for me.
Not for me either.
I know. Senior Swag wouldn't be caught dead in those pants.
Well, 2 years from now, will he be?
No.
I'm going to.
No. Bo.
Do you remember a professional golfer by the name of Jesper Parnevik?
Absolutely. My heart of Jesper.
All right. Mid-90s. So he's primarily known now, I think, by people, or at the time he was known primarily as, now he's probably back, but there was a time when he was known primarily as the guy who introduced Tiger to Elon, because Elon was his nanny.
Yep.
Him and his wife's nanny. So that's what he was primarily known for after his golf career kind of fizzled. But initially, he got a ton of attention for really snug-fitting polos, pants, skinny golf hats, and then he had
the hats with the little brim
the
up.
The hats were flipped up, and they had, like, the sponsor on it. But the look that he had, people were like, that's crazy. It was Jay Lundberg, I think, was the designer on it.
Yeah, now everybody wears that.
Now that's all anybody wears.
Yeah.
Is that. You think this will come?
No.
But if I were to ask you that same question about Parnevik, I think you probably would have said no in the mid-90s, too.
I don't know. It's totally – I just think we've got to a place where, like, that just looks – he looks absurd.
But we would have said the same thing about Parnevik in that time.
It's like saying, though – what was cool, like, is there going to be a point in basketball again where people are going to be wearing the shorts down that go down to their calves?
Not like the crazy St. Bonaventure picture that always gets put up, but I think you will see a baggy pant short thing comes back.
With some biker shorts underneath?
There's already that. Yeah. People are already doing that, wearing the biker shorts underneath. Course, I see it in the youth sports already. It always comes.
Does, but I think we've come to realize as a people that a pleated pant does no one and no body type any favors.
No, it doesn't.
So it is part of the reason we've gotten into this is people find that it is the tighter enhances. That's right. We're going in. Me and Bootsy. Let's go.
They got me in the mix.
They got you in there. That's DX invading Monday Nitro.
Is that really? Mm-hmm. That really happened?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Good job, therapy.
No, I don't think those pants are gonna make it. I don't think so.
Right.
I don't.
I tend to.
How is that going? There's no way. He's got too much invest. Like,
but
he
look,
would have
he's
to
rocking
take
Jordan 1s and all that stuff. If I would have presented him 5 years ago and say you're gonna be walking around in Jordan 1s, I bet he would have said no, I'm not.
I think that's fair.
Because what's happened is it went from dress shoes to like those Cole Haan looking shoes with the white soles and all that, because that was a staple like 3 years ago, to now all the way to Jordan 1s and Dunks. And I think there will be an evolution out of that.
There'll be, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
there will
I think
be.
Like sometimes what we're wearing now, if you would have, like for example, like,
I just, like Z Cavaricci's are never coming back.
That particular brand is not. But you have seen people
MC
wear like
Hammer pants.
So somebody brought that up. Nobody actually wore those though, except NC Hammer.
But Z Cavaricci's were basically like,
they were just jeans, though, right? Wasn't that the deal?
No, they were like pleated, huge.
I remember having a pair
wide,
I had
and then they
one
would
hoodie
taper way
oh,
down
yeah,
at
yeah,
the
they
bottom.
Down, yeah.
Everybody wore them.
Yeah, they did.
Listen,
yeah.
Here's the fact. Here's the reality of the situation. I shouldn't be able to rule. I shouldn't rule anything out because at some point in the next few years, and it happens all the time, somebody or some entity is going to decide this is what is cool.
Yeah.
And we are a sheep society.
Yep.
And so then everybody will wear it no matter how ridiculous it looks. That's just the way that it goes.
Yeah. Yep.
Like it's going to be real hard to get me out of my current world that I'm in. I love my Lulu pants. I love my Lulu ABC joggers. I like these kind of pants.
Yep.
Like these Grace ones. I love all my golf athleisure hoodies.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm good. Like,
you're good,
I don't see an evolution.
I don't either.
Really coming until I look like this for real, and maybe I'm a much older man.
You'll still wear it.
I'll probably still wear it.
You're still going to wear it. Yeah. You look great. All right, so should we do Masters League? Where are we? Do you have our standings up?
By the way, I'm going to tell you right now, if this ever is the reality of my situation,
No, you're not.
Yes.
Don't do that.
I'm going to slick it.
No. Do it like, don't slick it. Do it. If that's not going to happen either anyway.
Pure. I know it's not, but that's what I would do.
But if it did.
Like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Do it. No, go Willis. Go Willis. Or Statham. Go Statham.
With just a little stubble.
Little tiny stubble.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, go Statham. All right.
Is this going to be an all-day thing?
Might be. Leaderboard right now, Max Homa playing with Tiger.
Who has him? Don't you
is
have
7
him?
Under. I do not have Max
Homa. No, none of us do.
We do not have either of the two leaders because DeChambeau has now dropped a shot at minus 6. Homa leading at 7 under right now. Scotty
like
has
Max
not gone yet.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Looks like Tiger's not going to make the cut.
Who's the there which would be his first missed cut ever, right? As a pro?
Yes, first ever.
Yeah. One thing I love. I hate to even say anything that I hate something about Augusta because if you do, I feel like they will hear it and you'll never be able to be on the grounds. But I wish you could see like the full leaderboard more easy. Like on their site, they always just have the leaders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can't search the guys.
You gotta go to
an ESPN.
I got it right here for you.
All right, do you guys have ours?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Uno.
So you're in first place right now.
That's right.
Bo, you have 77 points.
With my number one golfer being Scheffler.
Yeah.
Who's quite good.
Yep.
I think I was sold a whole false bill of goods about his availability.
No, he addressed it yesterday post-round.
And what did he say? I might leave?
Yeah.
I don't think he's leaving.
Well, he's rolling the dice that doesn't come to fruition.
Gibbe in second. He's got 73.
Gibbe, right there.
Yeah, except Matsuyama's laying an egg.
Go ahead.
Z, you're in third place with 68.
Okay.
And then me and Griff tied in last with 66 because Dustin Johnson also laying quite an egg.
DJ struggled.
Yes.
Spieth is plus 8. I
have
that.
DJ and Griff has Spieth. So those
you guys
two
have 60?
66 total each. 66. So we're my amateur's my MVP right now.
Does anybody have anybody who is because the real issue will be those who don't make the cut. That'll be the where you really if you guys all make the cut.
Well, the projected cut's plus 3. Tiger's plus 1, so he's in. Rahm's plus 1. I have my guys are minus 1, minus 1, plus 1, plus 1, and 3 of them.
So you're even.
I have not played at all.
Who do I have blown up? Because Scheffler's been great. Neiman ended up minus 1 unless he struggled this morning and I missed it.
You have Scheffler, Neiman, 2 under.
Okay. Wendell Clark, what is he?
Wyndham had 14 points total.
I don't know what that means.
He was fine.
Wyndham's 1 over.
Okay. And then who else did I have? Wyndham.
You had Xander.
Oh, Schauffele. What's he at?
I think he's even.
Oh, so I'm great.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, I'm in a good spot.
Yeah,
Griff and I are in the worst
I'm in the lead. Yeah, I'm in the lead.
Because
yeah.
We have people that are going to get cut. Spieth and DJ are not going to make it at this rate.
Do you guys see DJ in the all green?
I need Rahm to make a run.
I have another question.
Shank it.
I have another question for you.
You also have 3 movies.
I do. Let me ask you guys this. Can you explain to me why everybody in LIV Golf has to wear their team gear at the Masters, at the majors except for Koepka? Anyone have an answer for that?
I don't know. I'd like Koepka to get his head out of his because currently he's not helping my cause today.
All the rest of those guys have to wear their LIV team stuff. I would make an argument that 62% of the audience there at Augusta has no idea, and they probably just think it's a brand, Mr. Zagura.
No idea.
Yeah, I don't know what it is either. I think they probably just think it's a brand they're wearing.
Yep.
But those guys have to wear it, everybody but Koepka. Kepka's in the Nike gear. There's nothing on his person that indicates that he plays LIV. All the rest of them have live on the hat and they're wearing their team. Or on the sleeve. Sometimes both.
Yeah.
But they always have the logo of the team they play for and live and then the logo on the sleeve and the hat. Koepka has no mention of live on any of his person. And this isn't the first time. That happened last summer. Because he's the only live guy to win a major, right? Since they've been live guys, I think so. He won the U.S. Open or the PGA last year.
Yeah, because Cameron Smith won.
And then he left.
And then he left.
Yeah. And then Rahm won the Masters. And then left. Yeah. But I think he's the only active guy to win it. But he's in Nike gear. He's not in the other, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The only thing I could think of is he has such an ironclad agreement with Nike
that's
like, you are wearing this in the majors.
Period.
Because I've never watched Liv since he's been on it, so I don't know, like, on Liv if he's wearing team gear or not. But he's Nike in the majors.
Yep.
I don't know. Again, I loved being able to watch it this morning.
It was great.
Even if they didn't start it till 10 a.m., because that way you've got multiple groups on the course. You can go around. It's not just following one group at 8 a.m. as they come out. You know, started at 10 a.m. Give me on Thursday and Friday. Saturday and Sunday, you want to stick to the 2 o'clock start or the 3 o'clock? Fine. I don't care.
Do you remember a time as a wee lad, Gibbe, when the only part of Augusta you saw was Sunday?
Yeah.
None of the rest of it was broadcast. It was just Sunday, and it was only the back nine. And then they gave him a little Saturday. But the Saturday coverage was like from 4. You got like you got like 2 hours.
And it was a hard out because of the news.
They were out at 6 o'clock, out no matter where they were.
Yep.
Right? And then you got the back nine.
Yep.
So we get more now than we've ever got by a billionfold from when we were kids.
Yeah.
When we were young. The idea that you can watch pretty much watch it. Like if you get on ESPN Plus, they have featured groups, but they keep you updated on what's going on around the course.
Yeah, sure.
They don't show it, but they keep you updated on it.
Sure.
And that was something that the idea that you could get like a Thursday and Friday. I remember the first time they showed the front nine at Augusta.
It was unbelievable. You'd never seen it. Whoa.
What's this?
And then it was.
He's the culprit.
This is your fault.
He's the culprit. Connor with a K.
Because he's just sitting there with like.
He's not properly white balanced.
No.
That's the problem there.
I don't know if that's totally the truth.
I just like saying it.
Okay. Dane Brugler is going to join us in 3 minutes. We should probably go to break.
Dane Brugler is going to join us in 3 minutes. Let's go to break. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity, and it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Welcome back into Cleveland Browns Daily. It's brought to you by Ballybet, sports betting partner of Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. And with that, we head on the Twisted Tea Hotline, brought to you by Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea, official sponsor of your Cleveland Browns. Keep it Twisted Cleveland. He is a great friend of the program. He is the man at The Athletic. He writes the beast. It is a Bible when it comes to the draft. When did you hit full send, it's done, buddy? And what was that emotion like for you?
I came out officially on Wednesday, and I mean, It's exciting. Also, a lot of anxiety. Obviously, you work on something for 18 months and you just kind of release it into the world. And, you know, you hope there's no typos or things like that. But it was great to be able to share it with everybody. It's a lot of background information, a lot of testing information, a lot of good nuggets in there. And so, you know, I think the feedback so far has been awesome. You know, most people have seen it already, but if you haven't, all you need is an athletic subscription and it's included. And, you know, it's a great resource guide. And it's not just about the first round guys. It's about the fifth round guys, the undrafted guys, and really helps paint a picture for who each one of these players are as people, as players, help get you prepared for draft weekend.
It's an absolute must-have accompaniment piece to the draft itself.
That's
because
right.
when
That's
your
right.
draft team drafts somebody, especially on day three that you've probably not heard of, Dane will tell you literally everything you need to know about them. It is something that helps me when I do my interviews, as I get to interview everybody that we draft right after their draft, and all of a sudden I can know stuff about their family. I can know stuff about what other sports they played in high school, who their idols were.
Oh, it's amazing.
Everything. It is awesome. When you publish it, and you said you're a little bit nervous, so you sent it out. Look, for years and years and years, we won't know if necessarily your evaluations were on the money, which, of course, they most typically are, or not. Are you always curious to get feedback from people that you have contacts with around the league, and they're like, oh, yeah, we saw this guy the same? Is that something that happens after it's put out?
Honestly, it's my favorite part of this is after I put it out, hearing from people around the league who, you know, because I have so much respect for the scouts, especially they're on the road grinding throughout the season and then all-star games. They're going to all of them. Pro days, they're on the road almost every day in the month of March, going from campus to campus, getting these 40-yard times and verticals and everything. So they grind so much. And so when I hear from them, because they understand the work that goes into this, and I rely on them for a lot of help throughout the process. So when I hear from them after I have a chance to publish it, that's, to me, one of the more gratifying feelings of this whole process. I don't think that even if we disagree on a player, which is inevitable, I mean, the smartest sure. scouting minds in the league disagree on some of these guys because you see it a little bit differently. And it's a little tough from my perspective because I'm doing this from a general point of view. I don't have a specific scheme I'm scouting for or culture or things like that. So, you know, that makes it a little bit difficult, but no doubt it's something that teams will, hey, I love this guy too, or I'm glad you saw this, or, you know, we see this guy a little bit differently, and here's what I saw, and, you know, this, okay, well, this is why I didn't like him as much. And so, you know, it's something that time will tell who ultimately is, you know, right on the player, but it makes it part of the fun. You know, if we all saw these guys the same, it wouldn't be nearly as fun to talk about and discuss and debate. And so, but at the end of the day, you have to feel good about your batting average. And I certainly do with mine.
Yeah.
I like that.
It gets brought up all the time. You mentioned 18 months. I think most people would have it in their head. Okay. You just finished one, get some time off, and then you start working on the next one. But 18 months. So you are, and I remember even asking you this a year ago, it was a very difficult question at the time. Like, how are you possibly going to have some sort of an analysis of what number 18 in Ohio State could be? And you said, well, I have a feeling he'll be very, very good, which very good job out of you. But you mentioned you already have, what, the base layer on next year? You already have that kind of going?
Well, honestly, it's not my goal. I'm not trying to, but inevitably you can't help but pick up a lot of information for next year, whether you're talking to a coach or a scout or a player. Guys for next year ultimately come up, or you're watching tape on a wide receiver and then, oh, who's this number 12? Oh, he's just a sophomore. Okay. You know, you're making all these notes and you're picking up this information over the course of this draft cycle. It just happens to be in your notes for next year. So I'm focused on this year, no doubt about it. And then even in the month of May, I try to take a step back and just catch my breath a little bit, coach my kids baseball and softball teams and enjoy family time. But then June 1st, right back into it where it's, you know, really diving into these guys, getting that base layer. But yeah, a little bit of a head start based off of things I pick up over the last 6 months.
Dane, as you kind of went, and we talked a little bit about this at the combine, but what are the positions that you think are going to provide a lot of solid pros, and then maybe what are the positions that are a little bit more thin this year?
Wide receiver is going to be just a stocked position the rest of our lives. It's going to be the position that you can always go back to the well, and they're not all going to be hits, but there's going to be someone in every round that you can get excited about as someone's going to help that wide receiver depth chart, especially this year at the top with the three guys. And then there's a little bit of a drop off to tier two, but not a huge drop off. And then tier three, tier four, we're still talking about guys that are going to come in and be productive. And, you know, you look at the Browns and second round, third round, could be some of those guys, some of those receivers that interest them. And I think it's, you know, a team or a position like defensive tackle, we might only have one or two defensive tackles go in the first round, so it's not very top heavy, but day two is flush with a lot of defensive tackle talent. You know, talking about Mason Smith from LSU or Braden Fisk from Florida State, Mike Hall from Ohio State, Chris Jenkins, Michigan, Brandon Dorlus, Oregon. There's a lot of defensive tackle help on day two that I think are going to fly off the board. Offensive tackle is kind of the opposite, where the strength of offensive tackles in the first round, we're going to see a lot of offensive tackles drafted early. And then day two, it thins out a little bit. You know, where do those next offensive tackles go? Are we going to see them? You know, a guy like Amagiji from Yale, is he going to make it to the third round? Even though he's a little bit of a project, needs some time. Every team needs offensive tackle depth and help. And so because it does thin out, those guys might get pushed up a little bit. So I think, it, you know, really it's a different story with each position, how the board will fall. Running back, we might not see a running back in the top 50 this year, which would only be the second time ever in the history of the NFL draft that we did not have a running back in the top 50 picks. But once you get to the third round, fourth round, we're going to see 10, 11, 12 running backs fly off the board at that point. So it really is interesting position by position how there's going to be peaks and valleys about where we see these guys come off the board.
Dane, let's, before we get into the Browns and some of the options in the second round, third round, and some of our positional wants or needs, let's do big picture and let's just have the quarterback conversation, because it feels like there could be as many as four of them in the top five if there's a trade. How do you evaluate, I guess, in general, the strength of the top of this quarterback class, and how do you see it in terms of the pecking order? Which guys do you like the most?
I do think this is a Caleb Williams draft. Is he a perfect prospect? By no means. But I think if you're going to bet, because that's what we're doing. When you draft a quarterback, you're making a bet. What are the odds that this guy is going to a winning starter for us, help us lead us to the playoffs? Because history tells us if there's five quarterbacks drafted in the first round, three are probably busts. And you go back to 2021 when we had five quarterbacks drafted top 15. So far, only one has been a hit, and that's Trevor Lawrence with the first pick, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, Justin Fields. Three of those four are on new teams, and Zach Wilson probably would be on a new team early. So it does feel like there's, you know, we're going to have some busts in this group. But if you're going to make bets on these guys, I can understand how you can be excited about Caleb Williams at one. That's why he will be a Chicago Bear. And then at number two with the Commanders, is it going to be Drake May? Is it going to be Jaden Daniels? I can understand where you could come to a conclusion that either one would be your pick. For me, I'm a Drake May guy. I think that if I'm gonna swing for the fences. I'm gonna swing for you know, the guy that has so much ability with his arm, with his legs. He's very intelligent. The athletic instincts are awesome. Some of the reckless decisions are problematic and throw you off a little bit, but he's a young player. You know, he just turned 21 last season. He's still growing, still going to make mistakes, and you have to be okay with that. But I'm going to bet on that upside and all the talent that he brings. Jaden Daniels, with what he put on tape this past year, you want an explosive play, he'll give it to you. Nobody has more explosive plays in one season, in one college football season, than Jaden Daniels did this past year. He had 90 plays of 20-plus yards. We've never seen that before. So what he can do with his arm, with his legs, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison to Lamar Jackson, but defenses have to prepare for them similar because he is a true so I think we're going to see quarterbacks 1, 2, 3, and then it's a matter of, okay, where does J.J. McCarthy go? Are we going to see him team trade up to four with the Cardinals to go get him? Could he last the six with the Giants? Did the Giants pass on him? And maybe a team trades up to eight with the Falcons. So J.J. McCarthy is more of the wild card, and the order of Drake May and Jane Daniels. We don't know who's going two, who's going three. So there's some, still some unknown, still some intrigue at the top, even if we do know that Caleb Williams is going to be a Chicago Bear at number one.
Dane, I had a correspondent out at a trade show, ran into somebody that appears to be close to the situation. Jimmy Bang Bang was out there.
Sure.
And he told me Drake May is going to be a Denver Bronco. What do you think about that?
Hey, it's hard to see how they really get up from 12 up to the top three. They don't have a second round pick this year. You're trading multiple future number ones to make that happen. And you have to convince the Patriots to trade away. Because let's just say Jane Daniels goes to the Commanders.
Dane,
the Patriots,
I messed up.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Bo Nix.
That's more realistic.
Yeah.
Okay. My bad.
Right.
My bad, Jimmy.
That makes sense. I'd be surprised if it happened at 12. Always possible because, you know, if you like a guy enough, if you like him enough to draft him as your future starter, let's not get cute about it. And you know, maybe, sure, we would love to trade back and get him later. But if you like him enough, then sure, I can understand a team reaching on him because anytime you draft a quarterback, there's a quarterback tax. Unless you're picking one, two, three, more than likely you're trading up for that guy. That's what usually happens in the first round. So with Bo Nix, I get it with him. You know, he has the all-time record for completion percentage. He can really give defensive fits with what he can do with his legs. It bothered me just how that offense was so simplistic with how it set him up for success. A lot of quick throws, bubbles, dump offs. And so, his completion percentage was great, but it's because he wasn't asked to make a ton of throws down the field. And so when he feels pressure, can he create enough to come up with the answers that the problems that defense are going to present to him at the NFL level? But you know what? Sean Payton knows a lot more about quarterback play than any of us. And so if he feels like Bo Nix could be the guy, then, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But I think the Broncos have to do something at quarterback, right? I mean, is Jarrett Stidham really your answer going into next year? So it feels like they have to do something. It's just I'm not sure what they're going – I would throw the Vikings in that conversation at 11, the Raiders at 13. These teams need to do something. It's just what is their plan to go get their guy? It'll be really interesting to see how it plays out.
A guy we know and a guy that, quite honestly, you view things pretty similar. Elliot Wolf is one of the guys running New England at this point. Mm-hmm. And when he was here and we would look at your beast, a lot of the things he thought were similar to the way you thought.
Yeah.
Elliot's sitting there. They have a lot of needs, a ton. You mentioned Denver. You mentioned the Raiders. You mentioned the Vikings. Does he listen or is either Drake May or Jaden Daniels unlistenable? In other words, you just take one of those guys, or does he have so many? If you were running the Patriots, what would you do at three?
I'm taking the quarterback, but it's the responsible thing to do to listen to offers and see. Because if you're the Vikings, you have two first-round picks now. Everybody knows you want a quarterback. The first call that you're making is to the Patriots at number three and see, okay, we'll trade you our two ones and then another pick and see if that's enough to go up and do it. The thing with the Patriots, they have a lot of needs. There's a lot of areas in that roster where they need to get better, wide receiver, offensive line. You almost feel bad for the quarterback that's going to go there at number three because the help around him is it's not inspiring for a young rookie quarterback. But if you're Robert Kraft, you're 82 years old, you just got done watching, 20 years of Tom Brady, and then last year, the worst offense you've ever seen over your ownership time in New England, I just feel – and we have to remember, too, when you draft a quarterback in the top half of round one, that's an ownership decision. And so I think that as much as Elliott Wolf, who – 40 years younger, he's 42. I think he sees a little bit maybe more long-term. Let's build the roster. Let's get more picks. Let's really do this thing the right way. I think ownership is going to play a part in let's get the quarterback. Let's get the guy that's going to inject some life into this offense. And, I just I can't go through what I watched last year, and so let's go get that quarterback. And I totally understand both lines of thinking, but at the end of the day, let's get the quarterback right. And I think it'd be pretty tough to trade away from either one of these guys at the top.
Let's say it does go quarterbacks 1, 2, 3. If you're Arizona, are you listening or are you running and getting Marvin Harrison for your quarterback?
Oh, you definitely listen, because I think you're going to get some pretty favorable trade offers. And let's remember what they did last year. They traded out of that spot and allowed the Texans to go back up and get Will Anderson. Yeah. And they turned around, traded right back up into the top 7 picks and got Paris Johnson from Ohio State. I wouldn't be surprised if they do that exact same thing this year, where the Vikings trade them a haul of picks to move up to number 4. So the Cardinals move back to 11 with additional draft capital. And then they use some of that to move from 11 up to 5 with the Chargers, because the Chargers want out of there. They want more picks. So you move back up to 5 and you get Marvin Harrison still, but you're able to just get more draft picks in the process. So you look at what Monty Austin IV, the GM of the Cardinals, did last year. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to do that again. And, you know, as much as I love Marvin Harrison Jr., I think they'd feel comfortable with Middle League Neighbors, with Roma Dunze. So you don't even have to move up to number 5. Maybe you just move up to number 8 or whatever it may be, and get one of those receivers. So, yeah, if I'm the Cardinals, my goal is to come away from the draft with one of those top 3 guys. However it ends up looking, however avenue it takes to get there, I'm going to come away with one of those top 3 receivers, and I think they might be creative in the ways that they do that.
Dane, is Marvin clear-cut number 1 for you, or how close is Neighbors, or maybe it's Odunzie who's 2nd, or maybe that one of them's 1?
Marvin Harrison Jr. is my number 1, but I do think it is closer than even I thought it would be. And I'm going back to November, I've been saying that some teams have Malik Neighbors as the number 1 receiver in this draft. And I understand why. If Malik Neighbors was in last year's class or the year before, he would have been my number 1 overall player in that draft. It just happens that he's in a draft with Caleb at 1 and Marvin Harrison Jr. at 2. And so he's my 3rd best player in this draft. But I just, when you look at him, you know, what can't he do? He does a little bit of, if you're talking about what he can't do, it's all nitpicking, because he has the full package of skills to get open, to dominate the catch point, and then do something after the catch. So I can certainly understand how a team would look at these receivers and come away with the conclusion that Malik Neighbors, who is also one of the youngest players in this draft, he's just 20 years old. He'll report to his first training camp on his 21st birthday, and he's just got done leading the SEC in catches each of the last 2 years. So there's a lot that you love about what he put on film, and then you get even more excited about how much better he can get from here. So, yeah, I think Malik Neighbors, if he ends up being the first receiver drafted, it wouldn't be that surprising, because even though I do have Marvin Harrison Jr. as my wide receiver 1, I do think it's closer for a lot more teams than people realize.
Talking with Dane Brugler, the author of The Beast at The Athletic. All you got to do is sign up at The Athletic. You get it for free, and it is more than worth your subscription price to The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at DP Brugler. All right, Dane, let's talk Browns for a second. Browns don't pick until the 2nd round, and be the first time in a couple of years they actually make a 2nd round pick. Hopefully they do. Give us some positions and then maybe some names or some things maybe that you're hearing for the Browns' 2 selections in the 2nd and 3rd round.
Yeah, you know, I think that obviously we'll see how the first 50 picks play out. I don't think they're necessarily going into the draft, into day 2, saying, oh, we're definitely going this position, or, you know, we want – I think they have, you know, a short list of players they think will be available in the early 50s, you know, guys that – fit their scheme and have the talent level that they're looking for. And I think, you know, I mentioned defensive tackle earlier. We'll see a few of those guys go 1st round, but day 2 is really a sweet spot for the defensive tackle position. And so, you know, a guy like Chris Jenkins from Michigan, I think it's more likely he goes top 50, maybe even top 40. But if he's high enough on their board, do they trade up maybe 10 spots to go get a Chris Jenkins? Obviously his dad was a Pro Bowler, different type of player. He's about 40 pounds lighter than his dad, but much better athlete. He's got heavy hands. You know, he can do a lot of things for you up front as a rotational player and then eventual starter. Mike Hall from Ohio State's really interesting because, you know, he's undersized. He's 6'3", under 300 pounds. But another guy is really young, still just 20 years old. And, you know, I know a lot of the listening audience are probably Buckeyes fans and saw the flashes, even though it wasn't consistent with Mike Hall. When he was out there, he made plays. He's a really disruptive player. The quickness that he plays with, obviously he's a Cleveland native, went to Streetsboro as Roe. So a lot of connections there with Mike Hall that I think will fit that Schwartz defense and maybe what they could be looking for. Mason Smith from LSU. This is every NFL team is looking for 6'5", 300-pound defensive linemen. This draft is in short supply with those guys. Mason Smith's one of the few that gives you that and has a lot of promise as well. So those three guys with Jenkins, Mike Hall, and Mason Smith could be options there in the second round. You know, we think maybe offensive tackle could be a direction they go, even if it's not an immediate need. It's something, if the right offensive tackle is there, a direction they could go, even though I do think offensive tackle falls off a little bit after that first round. You know, if a Kingsley Suamatia from BYU, if he were still to be there, that could be an option for them. 6'5", 325 pounds, really good athlete, former five-star who still growing into the player that he could be. But I think you're betting on the traits with Suamatia. If they wanted to go, you know, another edge rusher, get edge rush depth. Wide receiver could even with the Jerry Jeudy trade, more wide receiver talent is a direction they could go, even though I do think you feel good about who you can get in the third round, fourth round. If the right receiver is there in the early 50s, you know, could that be a Ricky Pearsall from Florida? You know, it's a really rich receiver class. And if the right receiver is there, I wouldn't rule out that position either.
Dane, what can you tell us about the young man out of Oregon that I think a lot of Browns fans are interested in, Troy Franklin?
Yeah, I mean, he is a true stretch receiver. You know, if you want a guy that vertical straight line speed, he gives it to you. He's got that tall, lean body type, 6'2", 175, 180 pounds, runs really well down the field and can create those big explosive plays. He's got that gliding athleticism. I think it's more about the consistency with him. You know, what can he be outside of those vertical stretch plays in terms of the route running? Can he win through contact? Doesn't always trust his hands. And so for those reasons, he falls just outside my top 50, but he could be in that conversation. He'll be right around, I think he'll be drafted right around where the Browns will be picking. So he could be in that conversation. You know, he's a guy that you love the production. You love what he did at Oregon the last 2 years. He led the Pac-12 in receiving, and he's still, again, just turned 21 years old. So a young player, he kind of fits what the Browns are looking for. It's just a matter of, okay, does he do enough for us outside of being that vertical stretch receiver that is worth us investing that second round pick in? And for the Browns, I could certainly see where they come to the conclusion that he is, we like what he is now, but we also think there's more to him than that. So I do think Troy Franklin could be on the short list.
Dane, we're going to get you out of here with a question from the great Uno. He will be the voice you hear next. Go ahead, Uno.
Hey, Dane.
Hey, Uno.
Curious about your thoughts on these kids from the Ohio Athletic Conference. As a Baldwin Wallace graduate, just want to know some of your thoughts on the guys I saw in the Beast when I was reading through it.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm an OAC guy, so if there's OAC players, I'm going to include them. I mean, I got to start with Wayne Ruby, the Mount Union wide receiver, right? I mean, as a Mount Union alum, got to start with the Purple Raiders. Yeah, he ran a 4.6 at the pro day, not the speed that you want, but you throw on the tape and explosive play, explosive play, explosive play. Had 30 touchdowns last year. But hey, Baldwin Wallace has a few guys this year. They got a running back, Griffiths, who you know, can do some things. I know they have a receiver, Stokes, a little bit undersized, but you know, you watch OAC play and you can see him do some things. So the OAC is rich with football talent every single year, and it's about time the NFL started showing that conference a little more respect.
There you go. That's as good as it gets right there. Good job out of you, Uno. Dane, can't thank you enough, buddy. You're the best.
Yes.
The Beast is the best. Congratulations. It's great talking to you again, my friend.
Anytime, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right. That's the Athletics' Dane Brugler. Reminder, if you're an Athletics subscriber, you get it. If you want to know everything about the NFL draft, subscribe to The Athletic, and you get The Beast, and it's all there. He joined on the Twisted Tea Hotline, brought to you by Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea, official sponsor of your Cleveland Browns. Keep it twisted, Cleveland. Second hour of the program coming up next, Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Champions League, the free gaming community for Browns fans around the world. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/Champions League to play Madden 24. Chance to win an autographed Deshaun Watson jersey. On that, we have a bunch of news around the sports world that we wanted to get to. So, first of all,
what about it from this kid? We didn't even get to that. The great Uno, page one.
Hold on that.
Hold Uno.
Holding.
We're going to get your stats and some of the stuff that happened last night on the flag football side, but I think we should probably mention Tom Brady first.
Of course, I watched that today. I was like, is this guy serious?
Okay. You watched that today.
Yeah.
Explain to people what you watched.
Just him talking.
No, where?
They showed it on ESPN during the golf coverage.
Okay, so you didn't see like the where this the genesis of this.
No,
I don't know the name of the human. This is the second podcast of this human that he's ever done. The best I can tell is it's hot, like Hot Ones, except it's with a haircut.
Okay.
So the guy gives you a haircut and you have a conversation.
Got it.
The guy's got about 20 million followers on TikTok and Instagram. About 3 or 4 years ago, he was just like doing haircuts in his garage.
Yep.
And now he's like a celebrity haircut guy.
Yep.
Okay. So Brady was his second guest.
Okay.
Ever. So just wrap your head around that.
Yeah. That's a pretty incredible number two.
That's a pretty incredible number two. So I don't know if Brady is
friends,
my hunch is Brady's
friends
or partners or something. So anyway. It's because the first guest is someone I've never heard of. Now, maybe the kids had heard of the guy. I've never heard of the guy. So Brady comes on it. This is the thing that I think what I was always curious about this with him, even for all the money in the world. And Fox is paying him $30 million a year over 10 years to be able to, well, $30 million per year for 10 years for him to be the face of Fox in the NFL. Are we sure he really wants to do this? Are we sure he wants to travel every week for 20 weeks? Well, more than that, 24 weeks, travel every week, do the homework, pour himself into it, because he's not going to half-ass it, pour himself into it, study all the teams, study all of it, do the prep work, do all of this. Are we sure he wants to do this? Because Peyton Manning didn't want to do this. Peyton Manning said, yeah, I'll do NFL, but I'm going to do it for my house. I'm going to do it with my brother. We're going to do it that way. I'm going to produce some stuff. I might dabble in some other things, whiskey, so forth. Brady's already dabbling other things. He's trying to own the Raiders.
Right.
So, like, he's already done that. Since he retired, usually you go right into the booth. He didn't. He sat out a year.
Yep.
And now he's on this podcast saying that the question is something like if the Niners called or somebody like that, and he has some fun with it. He's like, well, I'm always going to be in shape. I'm always going to be able to throw it. That would be fun. And he even mentions MJ, how MJ came back with Washington and played. And he says, now, I don't know if the NFL would let me do it if I'm trying to be an owner with the Raiders. So I think he was saying the MJ thing to lay the groundwork because MJ was an owner of the Wizards.
I just think that's his purpose. That's what he knows. That's what he does. That's the routine he likes. I'm sure he misses the locker room. He misses the guys. He misses the competition. Mm-hmm. And now he's trying to float the idea out there that if a team loses its quarterback, why can't I do what Joe Flacco did last year? I bet Joe Flacco.
That was the inspiration. Yeah,
100%. I'm Tom Brady. I'm way better than Joe Flacco.
Yep.
Why can't I do it?
He can. But if you're Fox, you've already moved Olsen off. Now, you could certainly bring him right back.
Right.
But, like.
If I'm Fox, don't you think that's they've called him?
I call him and I say, are you sure you want to do this?
What's going on here?
Yeah. Do you want to be? Because this is the other thing people don't realize.
If you're in, you're in.
Yeah. Here's the other thing people don't realize. He is the face of Fox to advertisers.
Yes.
Okay, so in the old days, that would be, in our era, that would have been like Ted Danson on Cheers. We were real little kids. And then like Jerry Seinfeld, the cast of Friends.
Sure.
Like those are the people who would go do up fronts. Peter Jennings, Dan Rather, those guys.
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw, they'd go meet advertisers, press the flesh. Now Jim Nantz does that. And Tony Romo does that. Why? Because the biggest entity is the NFL, and they are the face of the networks.
Yep.
Jim Nantz is the face of CBS. I couldn't even tell you who anchors CBS Evening News. I have no clue.
No idea.
I couldn't tell you one show that airs on CBS.
Ian Eagle might be the second biggest face.
I think you might be right.
Especially after getting to do the...
Certainly the most known voice.
The game, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that's what's happened. Those guys are networks now.
Yeah.
Joe Buck was Fox.
Yeah.
So they don't have anybody. Burkhart's got a way... I mean, he's there, but he's ways to go. Sure. My hunch is that probably even, like, the Fox NFL Sunday guys would be...
Yeah, right.
Would be more known. Jimmy, but that's the job now.
Sure.
That's the job. That's what his job is.
Yeah, I mean, and... You know, is he able, we don't have his Fox contract, right? But is he able to leave in the middle of the season if he wants to play
football?
There's
no way. Not at that price. Not at face of the franchise price. They don't want.
I wouldn't think so.
No.
So you think he's floating this out there to try to get out of that contract, to get out of
No. I'm sure he's not even thinking along those parameters.
To delay it?
I just think he probably answered it honestly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think I can still play.
Yeah. I saw Joe Flacco. Captivate a city and become a hero.
And I'd
like to be a hero again.
I am sure. He even mentioned New England. He said the guy brought up the Niners. He goes, New England? He said New England right away. Brady did. But I do wonder, like, I'm sure there's part of him that's like, even for this money, am I sure that this is what I want to do?
I know Brock
there's
Purdy
a grind to it.
Awesome. I just don't know why he doesn't come back and play for the Niners. Just be like, I'm coming back and playing for the Niners.
Yeah. Certainly could.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do the Bucks still have his rights?
My guess is, yeah, but...
Because he played two of the years of the three-year deal.
They paid...
No, I know, but, like, would they have to work out some sort of compensation for him?
He brought them a Super Bowl. My guess is they would say, okay,
they do right by him, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very interesting.
Yeah. It also feels like, too, I think sometimes these guys... Like, they can't stay out of the spotlight, you know?
No.
They just can't.
No, you get used to it.
Yeah. It's like
it's fun.
It's fun, and making one little comment gets him a lot of attention and things like that. Just like, I think Aaron Rodgers does that a lot of times. He makes a comment that he knows is going to get him attention.
13 prospects attending the NFL draft. Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels among them, the receivers as well. So you have that. Are you ready for yours? We're almost there. How much of the sniff test does the Shohei Ohtani translator pass?
Zero?
Yeah, not even 1%, right? So here's what you're led to believe. Now, this guy's going to do jail time now because now he's stolen $16 million.
But he didn't.
I understand. He's stolen $16 million from Shohei Ohtani. All right, so he placed 19,000 bets,
right?
25 a day from December of 2021 until January of 2024. The average bet was $12,800. The largest wage was 160 grand, smallest about 10 bucks. The total losing bets was $182 million.
Yep.
The net losses were $40 million. This guy makes about 150 grand a year.
Yeah, he couldn't do that.
This does not make any sense at all. And now he's going to have to go to jail?
Let's not forget that they had him do an interview with ESPN, like right when this came out.
Yeah, they did.
And then that never even got to see the light of day, and all of a sudden then he became the bad guy. So my guess is this is all hands on deck protecting the franchise, Ohtani. I mean, Ohtani.
For sure.
But,
for sure.
But isn't it going to be exposed?
I don't know. I mean, did anybody on the Astros really pay a price for cheating?
Yeah, but this guy, we're talking about a guy going to jail.
Baseball doesn't care.
They'll
do whatever they can to protect their star.
My guess is what they said to him was like, listen, you're going to do some time, and when you come out of here, you're going to be taken care of.
But what does that mean? Like,
right?
I want.
Oh, they don't think they thought he was going to do time. You think they thought he was going to do time?
I don't know, but I'm saying, don't you think they're saying, all right, you're falling on the sword?
Yeah.
And you'll be taken care of.
Yeah, we're you're led to like.
I mean, if he stole it,
I just see no scenario how Shohei Ohtani or the people around him would be so loose with $16 million. And I know he made a lot, and I know there's the guy down in Jacksonville who pirated like $22 million from the Jaguars, but that was over multiple years, and he was in the front office, and he was he in marketing? He was like using his like entertainment.
Yeah,
like he probably had a company card. Like this is one dude stealing $16 million allegedly from another, and then betting $180 million worth of money over 3 years. It just doesn't.
Losing 40.
It just doesn't.
Everybody's saying
that. He didn't have the 40. He didn't have the 40.
Everybody is saying that. So don't you think like somebody is going to expose what really happened?
Here's what I do think the language barrier will help it from being exposed.
Uno Everything and I want to know what he was chasing with the $10 bets.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a good question.
Now they're saying he betrayed him.
It just doesn't pass at all for me.
You're going to know because if they're pursuing legal action against this guy.
Yeah.
Like, is Otani's got to go through with it and be like, yeah, he stole from me. Knowing that this guy could face significant jail time now.
Yeah.
Isn't the Department of Justice.
Or Otani makes it go away by going, I'm not going to press charges.
It's fraud. Because he used passwords via the telephone to get access to Otani's money. That's the story. Which, by the way, like, I don't know, my bank, if all of a sudden proportionately $16 million was gone and it was somebody calling in giving passwords, I'd get alerted pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know?
Something should.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'd get alerted pretty quick. All right. What happened?
Big win for Team Black last night to finish the regular season undefeated. 52-51, I believe, was the final score.
I mean, that's a...
It was an insane game. Probably the game of the year in our league.
It's a one-point game in the 50s, Uno.
Yeah.
Now, who are the predominant players on the opposition?
They have Ashton Grant, who I believe is in our coaching staff. Yeah. He's their quarterback. They just added some guy.
What? Controversy?
Yesterday. That's the controversy.
Oh.
Is they just added this guy. He scored like 3 touchdowns against us.
How would you handle that in your days when you were running around down there? All of a sudden you go play a team and they got a new addition, 3 touchdowns, first time out, Z?
Jumping over people.
Jumping over people?
He made one catch over 2 of our people that was insane.
Yeah, I wouldn't be pleased.
We were not pleased.
Who's the commissioner? Who's in charge of this league?
I'm not actually sure who's the official person that runs it.
I feel like there's a conversation needs to happen about how did this guy get on this team? Why was this not part of the draft process? Is this a new acquisition? Is this...
So,
Corey told us about this yesterday.
Yeah, because...
Sure, this was the talk of the office.
The QB1 of Uno's team was not pleased.
I don't blame him.
Well, the problem is the last place team, if their guys would show up, they would be one of the top 2 or 3 teams. So the thinking was, well, we can't put this guy on that team because then they become unbeatable.
So this guy's new to the building?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's an intern, new intern, downstairs, new intern. I think, strength and conditioning.
Oh.
Which should tell you right away, he's not coming in looking like me.
No. And he's also probably played collegiate athletics.
Yes.
Something tells me.
If he's a strength and conditioning intern with the Cleveland Browns, I bet you he's played some college football.
Yeah, it feels like it.
I don't know if it was football. To me, he seemed like he was a track athlete.
Fine.
Like, I would guess sprinting and high jump based on what I saw yesterday.
Yeah, that's problematic.
Yeah.
For everybody else.
He was just catching screen passes, and he would go, like, 35 yards untouched.
Yeah. Well, you were a college sprinter. Why were you tracking him down?
D1 and D3 are a little bit of a different level.
Come on,
unfortunately,
Uno.
Me being in the OAC, despite what Dane told
us. Dane had glowing things to say about the OAC.
Yeah, very exciting.
It's a little bit different, I feel like.
Jeez, I'd want to know about though. What were your stats? Did you have some stats?
Just a couple of catches, no touchdowns this week, but
I don't like
okay.
How you're trending.
I mean, you came out of the gates
back in
like
the
feeling
end
like you were a man of consequence. You're calling yourself DeSean Jackson, and now you're like a throw-in in the box score in a 52-51 barn burner.
You're like a Sky Moore all of a sudden.
Yeah. A lot more defense for me this week. It was more needed there.
Any PBUs?
You gave up 51. How effective were you?
I'm not going to take the blame by a guy who's more athletic than everyone else.
What were your catches?
One down the sideline for about 30.
Okay.
And then I had one I caught like 5 yards ahead of the line and ran for like 10 more. So So,
so 2 for 45.
Getting open a little bit at least.
Do you have you scored or gotten a conversion since week one?
Yeah, I scored last week.
Scored last week.
The last time we played, it was when Bo and I that week. So okay. That was, yeah.
Okay.
So I have 3 touchdowns on the year.
I was getting my pipes checked.
Yes.
Yeah, it probably was that day.
Or, by the way, right all after. Good. 10 years. See you in 2034.
Not shocked. Not shocked at all when it comes to you. At all. All right. We have the Griff fact of the day upcoming.
Was a little
higher or lower as well. That's the same. Bo here for my team at Renew Home Exteriors. Is it time to update the exterior of your home? Tired of the same old vinyl siding? We'll upgrade to the future with Renew Home Exteriors composite clad siding. You can do it right now during their spring siding sale. Composite not only outshines vinyl, but it comes in 20 vibrant colors. Maintenance-free as well. They will suit your style, absolutely. Imagine a stunning exterior without the hassle. Renew Home Exteriors with all of that, with the composite clad siding. Renew Home Exteriors, superior products and superior service. Visit renewestimate.com for more on that. Higher, lower still upcoming, as is the Griff Fact of the Day. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity, and it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information. Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily by Ballybet, sports betting partner here, Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio. Time for the Griff Fact of the Day. Go ahead.
Fact of the day, fact of the day, fact of the day. It's the Griff Fact of the Day.
A Forbes report has suggested that Augusta National expects to make more than $70 million in sales for merchandise and about $10 million per day throughout the rest of the Masters. So that's like $1 million per hour that they make on just their merchandise sales.
16,000 a minute.
Not surprising.
That's a lot, though. It's a lot of commerce.
People are in there. It's a
deal,
factory.
Right? Like, you get in there, it's kind of like Soup Nazi episode of Seinfeld,
yes.
Right? Like, you don't look at a price tag, from what I understand. Our guy Previtz is down there. He's apparently going to do our shopping for us.
We'll see
how it all goes. But the idea is...
We were very specific.
We were.
If it wasn't in those specific bounds, no.
Too late.
Don't do it.
But I think you just go, that, I want a 4, a 5, a 7, They grab it and they go.
I like Spalding smells. I want a hamburger. I want a cheeseburger.
You'll get nothing.
You'll get nothing like it. Yeah. But I think that's the way it goes, is they just, they do it that way. Did we have the conversation about how they don't get anything from CBS?
Yeah, we talked about
you
that.
You and I talked about that.
They're leaving $180 million a year on the table.
Yeah, I don't care.
Don't care?
No, because now we control it. We do what we want with it. Now, my hunch is, one thing we didn't think to talk about when we were having that conversation about how CBS doesn't pay them anything for the rights was who makes the money that the advertisers pay in the limited broadcast? Because it's always, it's Mercedes-Benz, it's AT&T. There's like
I think they get some.
Is that,
that
Masters gets it, or does the network get it?
Let me pull it down.
Does CBS get that money? Because they must have. They have to be able to make something off it. They can't do it at a loss.
No, they would. They make money off of that. But they're leaving because they do such limited advertisement. They're still leaving a ton of advertising revenue on it.
But because they don't have to pay for the event, it makes sense.
Right.
And now they have ESPN doing the same.
Yep.
Where it's, you know, it's, what is it? What, at one point they would come on and say, you know, 52 minutes out of every 60 is uninterrupted golf action.
Yep.
So it's very minimal commercials. What's your question here, Uno, at the end?
If you could purchase anything when you're down there, what's the first thing you're going to grab?
So we gave specific – Previts is down there for us as our surrogate. And
let's see what we said.
What I settled on was – I've done some research on – my what I settled on is Peter Millar makes a Augusta Masters Green – quarter zip that they only sell there. That's, and then when they're gone, they're gone. So I don't know how hot of a ticket they are, but they, it's the only, you can't buy it on their site. You can't get it anywhere else. They sell it there. And so I, that's was, were my instructions. I said, if there's a Masters Green, Peter Millar, that would be the one.
Yeah. So you said exactly. the Masters Green, Peter Millar. I also said, I'd go with black, unless you like the green is so breathtaking. I'd be envious of the huge B, Bo Bishop Forever, in that case, green. Now, if, say, there's a Grayson Masters hoodie situation, I'm in on that any color.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and your hunch was Peter Millar green is going to take our breath away, and then I had Kelly McGillis following after Tom Cruise from the
right,
Take My Breath Away scene.
That's how the whole correspondence went. Yep. That's my hunch. That's probably what I would go for. Here's the deal. The official teaching pro of this fine program, Mr. Dixon, he got us a couple of quarter zips from there that are
beautiful.
Gorgeous.
You wore it yesterday.
I wore it yesterday. You wore yours, I think, Monday, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
You wore it. Anything with that logo is pretty good.
Very good.
It's good. I mean, like, the light blue looks great. The pinks look good. The yellows, all of it's going to look black, gray, navy, all of it. All it's all going to win.
By the way,
yeah,
the eclipse was Monday.
Yeah,
it feels like it was 8 years ago. This is the long. This might be the longest 4-day week in the history of the world.
I do a segment in the morning where I it's what we learned this week. It's on a Friday at 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
and the kids get it sponsored, and it's a win for everybody.
Everybody's
and,
winning.
And so what we do is we go, here are the 10 things, 5 to 10 things that we talked the most about this week, and so primarily it's the Ohio State spring game. We've spent the most majority of time there, but the. It was interesting you mentioned that because I went, wait a second. The national championship game was this Monday?
Yeah.
The eclipse was this Monday?
WrestleMania was last Sunday. Feels like, 100
years
ago.
It could be curb finished?
Yeah, Sunday.
Sunday?
Sunday.
Like.
Doesn't make any
man,
sense.
Man, this has been it's been a lot happened this week.
Yeah.
An awful lot has happened.
Yeah.
This week. So, do you think, I think there's a pretty decent chance at some point you play Augusta. I think it's in play. I think it's very much in play. In play,
I've never been closer, but I'm still very far.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
right. I mean, I think that's a fair way to say it.
Yeah. I don't think you're very far. Far. I don't want to say very far. I think you're far.
I think the chances of me playing Augusta National in my lifetime, right now, is the highest that number's ever been, other than when I was at McKinsey, and I from a consulting standpoint, could have had I gone and come back after college. I'd put it right now at 10%.
That's where I was going to go. I was going to put it at 10%.
Which,
you're saying there's a chance?
Saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
Likely not.
No. There was a, and you know this, maybe I've told it before, like, if you cover it, you go to a lottery to play it on Monday.
Yep.
And the station I was at in Florida covered it for like 30 years, and then the sports director passed, in the time that I was hired. And in that time, there was a lapse where Augusta happened and we didn't go cover it. And they were a legacy station. Phipps owned us, Phipps Plaza, Atlanta. That family owned the station in Tallahassee. So they were big money station and they covered it forever. And we always went, but we missed it 1 year. So the next year I put in for master's credentials and they said, no, you have to come cover the practice rounds for 5 years. And then we'll see if we can get you back in the rotation as a regular member covering Augusta. So that was how close that would have been. Because the way I understand it, if you go there and cover it, it's a lottery, but not really. That there aren't that many people who stick around on Monday, and you get to go play.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to travel with your clubs?
Well, all of that. And I would. You would do all of it.
Absolutely.
And for me, down there, it would have been, we would have driven up to it. We wouldn't have been a flight, so it would have been even easier. But not many people are able to, you know, you got to work.
Got to work.
Right? You work Sunday night, but then you got to get on a plane. You got to get somewhere. So to stick around and play Monday, there aren't that many people that get to do that.
Right.
That would be a ridiculous thrill to play it after they just got done playing it with that setup.
Yes.
That would be crazy. Yes, would. I've known two people who have played it and both said that it's far hillier than you realize.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, completely up and down. By the way, Uno, you're it's befuddling your amateur. He's 6 over.
Yeah, it's over for him.
Is this just, it's going to come down to me and Gibbe?
No,
or can you rally?
I'm going to have all four on the weekend.
I did see he has the longest average drive distance in the whole tournament, so he's at least got the potential for to be good someday. He's got to work on the putting, I think.
I got nobody making a run, but I have four guys in it right now. I need Hovland. Hovland had it going until he hit that absurd shot right, had to take an unplayable, I think, on 10 yesterday.
Yeah.
I've got Hovland at even. Cam Smith is at, where'd Cam Smith go? He's also at even. And then Tiger's at one and Rahm's at one. But basically, my guys are just getting going. Cam Smith, Hovland, and Rahm are just getting going.
Shoffley's even. Scotty's -6 for me.
Yeah.
Where's my guy? Where's Joaquin Neiman? Where the hell's he at?
One.
By the way, as you guys
under
for that,
yep.
Shohei Ohtani's ex-interpreter has turned himself in just in the last 10 minutes. He is now in federal custody.
That's the thing. It's the federal government's involved.
Federal authorities filed a complaint accusing him of bank fraud, which can carry a maximum fine up to $1 million and or up to 30 years in prison, according to federal guidelines.
Not as bad as Vietnam, but that's a long time.
I'm just saying, if I'm looking at 30 years, I'm throwing the baseball player under the bus. Yeah, he had me doing it, all of his bets.
I don't think he's going to jail. All right. So I am one. I got Shoffley's even, Neiman's -1, Wyndham's +1, Scotty's -6.
Mike, four guys are 2 over total. Even
Koepka's
even.
2 over.
I'm 6 under.
Thanks for nothing.
And what's Gibbe's? Gibbe, what's your whole team?
It's Koepka. I think it's Matsuyama. I'm looking for him near the cut line. He's
Matsuyama's
right at the cut
four
line.
Over.
He's +4.
And so I'm going to get four in. Bo,
so you're +6 on those two cats. Who's your other two?
I got Rory.
Rory's one under.
So
that's
+5.
I forget who my fourth
is.
Who's my fourth, Uno? Siwoo Kim. That's hot garbage. Thanks for nothing.
So this is going to be between me and Bo.
Yeah, it's 2 horse race.
Where's Siwoo Kim? Siwoo Kim's 6 over.
Oh, you're done.
Give
12 over.
That's what I just said. I'm like, hey, Brooks, how about you show up?
Big B's.
Big B's.
Suck.
Big B's are going to carry the weekend.
Man, I wish I just stuck with my original first pick, and I'd be in first.
Yeah, because I would have taken
Rahm.
Inverted. Do a little higher, lower up next. Listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Hey, welcome back into Cleveland Browns Daily. Time for a little higher lower, presented by Keep It Fun Ohio from the Ohio Lottery, who remind you to set limits when you gamble. Hello, Gibbe.
Hi.
How are you?
We haven't done higher or lower this week.
It's well, now we have. We got it in here on a Friday. We
exactly.
Got
presented by our great friends at the Ohio Lottery.
Gibbe, I want to I want to congratulate you on your the new responsibilities you picked up, being the manager of the printer for the entire organization.
Printer manager.
Printer manager. So congrats. Kudos.
Hey, here's a stat for you. This from Ross. 9 of the 12 days in April have been rainy. He's a meteorologist.
Awesome.
More than 3 times our normal rain has already occurred.
Great.
And we're on pace to net a record of over 7 inches of rain, which that record goes back to 1929. Let's go.
Great.
We're going to get if we're gonna, Great. Let's live, man. Let's get out there and live in it.
Well, if we're stuck inside, we might as well be able to print out the beast.
You know what Bootsy said? You know, the two others have sleepovers. Big smile on his face.
Why is Bootsy not allowed to have a sleepover?
He's a little young.
He's young.
Okay. He's eight. So, yeah. Like, that's kind of an age where, like, usually what happens on an eight is it's a start-stop sleepover. Like, they're at the house, and then it's 10 o'clock, and they're like, I think I want to go home. And so you end up having to call a parent.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, usually, the sleepover thing is usually a third grade, I think, is when it can start to happen. So, the two olders are both out of the woods tonight. They're sleeping with buddies. So, it's just me and the blonde and Bootsy, and he goes, Dad, you, me, Fortnite tonight.
Dude, you're going to have the best
time. I'm like, you sure? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I'm going to show you how to play. Okay.
This week.
Can we get a GoPro?
I'm going
to
get him.
I'm going to the.
I've never been good at the shooters.
I'm going to the Cavs game tonight, so I'll probably be out.
Be out of the mix. They're still playing.
I'll be around. Yeah.
They have two games left?
I don't know.
Two
but
left?
They're kind of important for seeding. I was looking at the standings.
Wake me up when you get to the second round.
Well, you'll be sleeping for a while.
Yikes.
Do you guys see, by the way, here's a little higher lower for you. So they're the four right now.
I was going to say,
they're a game out of the three, which is what New York has. Currently, they would play Orlando in round one.
They're also a game out of the six, and they play the Pacers, who are currently the six tonight.
Correct. It's an important game tonight.
Ideally, you don't want to play the Knicks, right? Because they bully you.
No, they bully you.
So you've got to
win this game. You've got to win this game. You beat the Pacers, you're fine.
Okay. So then you get to play Orlando
on Sunday.
And if you don't beat Orlando in the first round, then I think you're cleaning house. Like at that point.
I got it.
If that happens. Were you aware of this? That in the West, the 9 and 10 are the Warriors and Lakers.
What?
Are the 9 and 10. So they will play right now, they would play each other. Now they all have the same record. Sacramento, they're all 45 and 35. So one of them is going to be the 8, 9, and 10 are those three teams. It's in fact it's already that.
How is Phoenix the 7?
I don't know. I haven't been watching. I don't know what's going on.
Don't they have like
they have Durant and Bradley Beal and all
Booker?
Those guys. I don't think they've all been hurt a lot though. Huh. But right now, if this holds, the Lakers and Warriors will play elimination game.
Like, I'm all for that.
If you're the league and you're looking, you're staring up the battle of these teams are in New Orleans, Dallas, Clippers, Oklahoma City, Minnesota, Denver, and the Lakers and Warriors, one of them isn't going to be in. I'm telling you what, they need to make sure one of them replaces Sacramento and gets to the 8 so that they need a Tim DeGonaghy this thing so both those teams are in at least the first round. You can't not have the Lakers and Warriors in the first round. You're going to have 6 million people watching this stuff.
By the way.
Yeah, well, the first round's 42 days, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's awful. Awful. Absolutely awful.
The Cavs need to win tonight. They need to maintain a home court in the first round.
All right, go ahead, Gibby.
It's a big game.
CBSSports.com, the current top 12 wide receiver trios in the National Football League. I printed this out.
I got
and
it.
I realized I gave it to you in the wrong order.
It's so fine. I got me. It. I got it. You're good.
First, number one on their list, the Houston Texans. Lower or just right?
We're not on this list for starters.
We are not on this list.
What?
So Houston's one. Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell. Well, lower. I would not have them ahead of Miami. I wouldn't have them Cincinnati. That's not to say Cincinnati. That they won't get there, but right now Cincinnati still has all their guys.
Correct.
So Cincinnati healthy.
Until they trade Higgins, Higgins is a Bengal.
I would have Cincinnati one right now until whatever shakes out over the next month. But it's either way, Miami. Hey,
but
I
who's
would have
the third? It's the third.
Isn't Taylor Boyd still there?
No, he's a free agent.
Trenton Irwin.
Okay. Well, all right. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins healthy over Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Okay, so then they're one.
I think they're one.
Okay, so these both of these are over Houston, in my view.
Fine. Yeah, I don't. I think the Niners should be up there too.
The Niners
Debo
are number
and
four.
Jennings.
Ayuk, Samuel, and Jennings.
I'd have them ahead of Houston.
I like Jennings.
I might have Philly ahead of them, too.
Yeah, the Eagles are pretty darn good.
I don't think Diggs is Diggs anymore.
I don't either.
Yeah, he doesn't automatically elevate them.
He's got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Tyler Scott ahead of us. DK Lockett, Jackson Smith. The Seahawks have the potential to go much higher.
So the Minnesota's Bears, two are pretty damn good, too. Jefferson
ones?
And Addison.
Yes. Yeah. They don't have a three right now.
So the Bears are sixth.
Lamb.
My pages are stuck. Tampa Bay is seven.
The Rams should be a little bit higher. Kupp, Nacua, Tutu.
Yeah. Eight, yeah, I'm like the Seahawks. That. Nine, the Vikings. 10, the Rams, 11, the Cowboys.
He's treating the Titans as if it's 4 years ago, by the way.
I was going to say, if you were to add up Amari, Judy, and Elijah Moore, there's way more production than the Titans.
Do you think that Amari Cooper's like one of the most overlooked players in the league?
Yes.
Year in and year out.
I mean, this has happened for the long – he's on his third team. I just wonder how much of it's like just the way he goes about his business.
He's quiet.
He doesn't trumpet himself. You know, doesn't wear wristbands or anything. He just
balls.
I don't know. He's kind of like Nick Chubb of receivers, but he just
5-time Pro Bowler, 7 1,000-yard seasons, including 4 of the last 5 seasons, including bowl seasons with Cleveland. Averaged a career high 17.4 yards a catch last year, so he had 1,250. I mean, Judy obviously has not been what he was drafted to be.
Right.
But I think the notion that, like, Judy's been trash is crazy. He's averaged 14.5 yards a catch for his career, 54.758, the year before 67.972. He's averaged, over the last 2 years, 9.3 yards a target. Like, that is a very good – that's a very good figure.
Yeah.
And then you had Elijah, who, when given the opportunity to be, like, the main guy, which was really just one game, was excellent. But he still had last year 600 and something yards, 640. I mean, I don't know. I think our trio is being disrespected here. Now, if they did pure trio of pass catchers where the tight ends were involved as well, the Niners would have like Kittle, Ayuk, and Debo. Hockenson would go in for Minnesota. Addison, Jefferson, Hockenson, if he's healthy. That's pretty wild to me. I think
I would have
Chief into ours.
I would probably have Houston fifth.
I just don't. Again, I do worry that the NFL is trying to crown Houston a little early here.
Well, it's.
I understand that they're good.
It's happening,
but
it's happening. They are crowned. Yeah. They've been crowned.
But
I love what they've done.
Me too.
If I were them, I'd be excited. If I were a fan, I'd be thrilled. But it is. It's a lot of anointing.
Stephon Diggs. I don't know if. He elevates them to number one. I don't know if they're a top four.
I wouldn't have them four. I would have Miami, Cincinnati, the 49ers, and Minnesota all ahead of them. Because Minnesota's two are crazy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Addison and Jefferson, they're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, Diggs is very good. Diggs has fewer 1,000-yard seasons than Amari Cooper in his career.
This kid's unbelievable. This is a Jeremiah Smith kid at Ohio State, 18-year-old.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, kids.
I saw a highlight of him.
He's big.
He's huge.
Yeah. So like
he's huge.
He's supposed to be getting ready for prom.
Yeah, yeah.
Diggs last year. I don't know if people remember this or not.
He's running ones.
Here's Stephon Diggs after week 6. He started the season with 102 and a touch, 66, 111, 120 and 3, 121 and 1, and then 10 for 100. Week 7 on. 6 for 58 and a touchdown, 9 for 70, nothing. 6 for 86 and a touchdown. Now week 34, nothing. 4 for 27, nothing. 6 for 74, a touchdown. 4 for 24, nothing. 4 for 48, nothing. 5 for 29, nothing. 4 for 26, nothing. 7 for 87. And then in the playoffs, 7 for 52, 3 for 21.
There you go. So much more to come. You'll listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
There you go. Get out there, enjoy the sun, enjoy the gorgeous day.
It's beautiful.
Watch the map. See, we made it.
We made it.
We made it.
We made it. That's great.
Hey, good news. Your bald head won't get wet.
Jeez! Just bullets
it's
flying.
Just a lot of projection.
Out of nowhere.
There's a lot of projection.
By the way, the YouTube looked great. He looked great. He's so excited. He's so excited. Nana's not going to like that behavior.
No, she's
at all. No. Next level's next. Enjoy your weekend. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.